been to worship together with you during these past weeks. Again, I would have never guessed in my life as a pastor that we would meet together this way, but there has been some really good parts of this, and I'm thankful for that today. Absolutely undeniable is that sense that God is with us. I just have absolutely no question but that God hears us just as he would any other time. And in fact, it may change us in this process as we think about how precious worship is and how important the body of Christ is to each other. I know over the last few weeks we've said, maybe you've said, we've all heard it, that truly the church is where God's people are, and I feel that so much today. A couple of weeks ago we talked about the peace of God that passes all understanding. One description says that God's peace guards our hearts and our minds in Christ Jesus. Last Sunday, we talked about joy and that great scripture from Nehemiah that says, "The joy of the Lord is our strength." I pray today that you're feeling God's strength. I want to talk this morning about another attribute that God gives us, a characteristic that God gives us that helps us to have strength. Just like joy is important to our strength, there's another word, and that's hope. That is so important about the strength that we feel. God tells us in his word that there is a certain hope that God gives us that can help us to be strong in difficult times. And even in a few minutes as we read about Jesus coming into Jerusalem, we see this great hope that people held at a certain time. They also had fears that came upon them. But the joy and that we find in the story of the triumphal entry, I think, is a beautiful story to think about and talk about hope. Truly, hope is an amazing gift from God. Hope is a gift from God. And especially in hard times, hope is one of those things that we need to grab onto and hold on to. The scripture says, "Those that hope in the Lord will renew their strength." I read this morning as we opened our service that scripture from Isaiah chapter 41. Let me just read part of it again. "But those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength." And so today, if you're feeling like, what's going to help me renew my strength? What's going to help me to renew my passion and my faith and my outlook? What's going to help to refill me so that as the days go by in this horrible disaster and more people are impacted by it, more and more people, the totals go up that die, and maybe some of them will be people that we know, maybe people that we love deeply. How is God going to help us during that time? How's God going to help us to have his strength when it seems like the circumstances are so difficult? I want to say today how important hope is to us. Hope renews us. The Bible tells us that hope refills us. In some way, it's described in the Bible that hope replenishes us. Somehow, God puts something back in that life takes away. Certainly, the circumstances of life can fight to take away the goodness that we see and even the joy. The enemy wants to take the joy away from us in life circumstances, but I'm reminded of that scripture in Romans. It says, "In all things, God works together for good to those that love him and are called according to his purpose." I know that's one of the hardest scriptures to understand sometimes. Where is God when things are dark? But I want to say God says that he will work in every circumstance. And I know God's going to work in the circumstances of this virus. I don't know how. I don't always know when and where. But I know that God is faithful. And he promises that he will work in the circumstances around us. Another scripture that's so strong to me and powerful is from the book of Jeremiah chapter 29 verse 11. And I know many of you can quote this. Many of you have quoted it. Some of you may have a poster on your wall that says this. And we know it's true, but in days like these, we've got to really say, "God, speak to me in the midst of this. Listen to this great promise of God. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you a hope and a future." What a powerful way that God expresses that he knows the circumstances that we live in. He knows what's going on around us, and God is not leaving us to be alone during that time. You may be in a place by yourself today. You might be with a few of your family members, or you could be absolutely listening today, and you might not see another face today, a live face, but I want you to know that God has promised that He sees you and He's with you. Hope is powerful. Romans chapter 15 is another powerful verse about hope. Look at this. If you have your Bible and you want to open it, I would even say to you today, if you have a pen, this verse that I want to read is such a powerful one about hope. Listen to what it says. Romans chapter 15, verse 13 says, "May the God of hope fill you all joy and peace as you trust in Him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit." Wow, that is quite a powerful statement for God to make. The first thing that I notice about it is it says, the God of hope. The reality, the truth is that God is the God of hope. God is the one that gives hope. He helps us to sense His hope. Just like we talked about months ago, we talked about it's the armor of God, but it's a gift He gives to us. He gives us the shield of faith. He gives us the belt of truth and the breastplate of righteousness and all the armor of God. We learned a couple weeks ago that He's the God of peace, who gives us peace. He is the God who gives us His joy. And that's amazing and that's incredible. But here we read that He is the God of hope. And so if you're wondering where hope comes from, understand it comes from the hand of God. And He offers it to us. And He wants to fill us with His joy and His peace. He wants to renew us. He knows that life takes it away. God is not surprised by the grief that we go through. God is not surprised by financial hardship. God is not surprised by broken relationships. God is not surprised by health when it fails. As much as we wish that none of these things happen, the truth is that God knows these things happen. And God wants to renew a spirit within us in the midst of those things. God wants us to feel His help and His presence in the midst of them. And so He says He fills us with joy and peace. I know this verse also reminds us how important it is to understand trust. And that this tells us that this happens when we trust Him. This happens when we're able to hold on to who He is. And even when we don't feel it, even when we don't sense it, and there may be times, and I know there are, some of you have told me that, there's times when you just don't feel that God knows where you're at. I hear that. I understand that. But I want you to know that it's times like those that you can trust Him. May the God of hope fill you with joy and peace as you trust Him. A key to God renewing that inside of you is being able to trust Him. Oh, it's such a key to be able to say, God, when I can't see You, I can trust You. Even when I can't really feel it. By faith, I believe it. I hold on to it. I pray that you're at that place in your life that you can just trust God even when you can't feel Him. God has a way to fill us and overfill us, the overflow. I think, well, what about the overflow here that He talks about? So that you may overflow with hope. Not just that you'll have hope, but maybe that you'll have enough hope that some can spill out and help somebody around you who needs it. Because there's a lot of people in our world that don't have enough hope. They don't have enough trust. They don't have enough to hold on spiritually. But maybe God can give you an overflow so that you're able to let that flow into somebody's life. I'm thinking about influence. I'm thinking about footprints today. We've been using that term so much to say, pray that God will give you enough trust to Him that you can make a footprint for Him in somebody's life that needs it. Truly, God can do that. He can give us that hope. And it's always by the power of His Holy Spirit. You think of how important it is, the power of God. And everything we've talked about before, we've talked about the power of God and the armor of God. put on the full armor of God. Stand strong. Stand firm, he says there. Walk in the power of the Holy Spirit. And today I would say to you, call out to God's Holy Spirit. He sees you and he knows you. Romans chapter 12, another scripture that talks about hope, how powerful it is. It says, be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, faithful in prayer. Share with the Lord's people who are in need. Maybe today, if you got that pen in your hand already, you might want to jot down that scripture, Romans 12, 12. How God wants us to sense that he can help us in these days and what we do. Another scripture in Hebrews chapter 10, let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess. And then it says, for he who promised is faithful. I want you to know that second part of that's even, they're both powerful. The first thing, but the second part of it says, for he who promised is faithful. The one who gives us all these scriptures and promises today. And I'm quoting a lot of them. I'm reading a lot of them today. Every one of them. I want you to know that the one who made the promise is not necessarily a prophet from the Old Testament. It's not a preacher like me. It's not your spouse or your parents, but it's God himself. And he promises to be faithful. And he is faithful. And he'll help you. Whatever your need is today, if it's in an area of hope, maybe an area of peace, maybe an area of joy, and maybe some combination of needs that you have, I just want to say to you that we have a faithful God who hears every one of them. I'd like to read from Luke chapter 19, the story of the triumphal entry. I'm going to start reading at verse 30. Listen to three things that I especially want to point out from this story. And as we think about holding on to that hope, and that verse that I read a couple minutes ago said, unswervingly. One translation says, hold tight to the hope. Hold tight to the hope. You know, some things in life kind of get disconnected and they can get away from us. And that's the picture that I think God gives us in that verse. Hold on to hope. Hold on to hope. Verse 30 of Luke chapter 19 says this. Jesus said, go to the village ahead of you, and as you enter it, you will find a colt tied there, which no one has ever ridden. Untie it. Bring it here. If anyone asks you, why are you untying it? Say, the Lord needs it. Those who were sent ahead went and found it just as he had told them. As they were untying the colt, its owners asked them, why are you untying the colt? They replied, the Lord needs it. They brought it to Jesus, threw their cloaks on the colt, and put Jesus on it. As he went along, people spread the cloaks on the road. When he came near the place where the road goes down the Mount of Olives, the whole crowd of disciples began joyfully to praise God in loud voices for all the miracles they had seen. Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest. Some of the Pharisees in the crowd said to Jesus, teacher, rebuke your disciples. I tell you, he replied, if they keep quiet, the stones will cry out. As he approached Jerusalem and saw the city, he wept over it. There are three things particularly that I just want to focus on for a few minutes this morning about this great story, this amazing beginning story to Holy Week. And it represents so much about what's going to happen the next 7 days in Jerusalem, but it also reflects what happened the last few days in the town of Bethany, where Jesus raised Lazarus from the dead. Really, that story is the beginning point to me of Holy Week, because things that come out of the story of Lazarus lead into Holy Week and so many things about it. Well, about this story, the first thing I just want to mention is that Jesus rode on a colt. Some translations say a donkey, a humble animal, because Jesus was showing humility. Jesus was showing us something of the nature of God, even the nature of God, when he rode this colt into Jerusalem. Jesus could have come in on a large stallion, and I'm sure there was plenty of them around there. I mean, the Roman soldiers probably had them, and rich Jews had them, and probably Pontius Pilate and all those others, they probably had a stallion. But Jesus rode a colt. Or a donkey, a humble animal. He's showing us the kind of God that he is. He's showing us in that picture that he is coming to something. People are going to proclaim him and acknowledge him, but he doesn't come, as far as I know, Jesus doesn't come into town waving his arms. And I don't know, we don't really know exactly what he was doing, but I don't get the impression at all that Jesus came into town doing all the shouting and praising. Jesus came in quietly on a donkey. He had to come. He had to come in order to go to the cross. But he came as a humble servant. He came on a donkey. I also think about the excitement of the moment and the great festivity that if I had a palm branch with me, I'd just wave it at you here today. That's about the best we could do. We'd have our kids coming up. We would have been having, I believe it was our next to last practice for our Easter musical yesterday, if we were together. We'd have been talking about praise. We'd have been recognizing that part of it, but we know in all this excitement and joy and all the people, they were recognizing the power of Jesus. They're recognizing and celebrating the miracle of Lazarus being raised from the dead. They were seeing the great teacher. They were seeing the great miracle worker. And many of them even believe that he was the Lamb of God. But we also know that Jesus had to go to the cross. And even in the midst of all the excitement and the joy and the celebration, we see a Jesus who's going into Jerusalem knowing what's going to happen. We see in Jesus coming to Jerusalem a great love for us, an amazing love for us. So we see in Jesus a humility. We see in Jesus a great love for us. In verse 41, we read, as Jesus approached Jerusalem and saw the city, it says simply, he wept over it. Somehow Jesus on that donkey and in the midst of all the excitement and the joy, it says that when he got to the top of the hill, looking down into Jerusalem, he began to weep. Why did Jesus weep? Why did Jesus come to that place that his emotions began to come out? You know, there's only two places that I know of in the Bible that we read of Jesus weeping. The first one's in the story of Lazarus, just 3 or 4 days before this event. And here Jesus is weeping again. As he gets to the top of the city, he looks down into the city and he weeps. I believe, and later on Jesus said, I didn't read that scripture, that he was weeping because he knew what was going to happen. He knew that Jerusalem was going to be destroyed. In a deeper sense, Jesus knew what was going to happen to the people. And he felt and he understood. The truth is, Jesus sees our world. Jesus sees 2020 like he did in the year of 30 or 31, 32, whenever it was that he went to the cross. I believe that this story gives us a little picture of the truth that Jesus sees us in our needs. He saw the people of Jerusalem. And I believe today that Jesus sees every one of us and sees the needs that we have. I want to say to you today as we close in prayer in just a moment or two that I believe that Jesus is at the right hand of the Father right now. He's watching us. He's praying. He's interceding, one scripture translation says, for the church, the body of Christ. And so if you're a believer here today, I want to tell you a promise right now that Jesus is praying for you. Jesus knows what's happening in your world. It knows what's happening to our brothers and sisters in New York City, in New Jersey, in Louisiana, and every place where there's sickness and when there's death and where there's death. I want you to know today that every step of the way, Jesus sees us, and he came in order to be our helper and our Savior. Today, I'm going to invite you to pray. I just want to say to you that as you do and as we enter into this Holy Week, it is an opportunity to remember how much Jesus cares about you and me. He wants to give us strength. He wants to give us hope. And today, I pray that you will sense that you will feel that, and that you will hold on to that. Maybe some of these scriptures are real to you today. And I pray that when you feel low, when you doubt, when you might feel in your heart, I don't see God, where is he? you read these scriptures and you hear what God says and he promises to be with you. We pray for you. We pray for those that are going through much harder times than us right now. And that as this wave comes across our country, that God will help God's people to have faith and trust in him. I pray for you today. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you today that you hear our hearts, our prayers, our worship, our thoughts, our needs. I'm so thankful today that wherever we're at, that we know that we can trust you. I pray, God, that we can put into practice this great scripture that calls us to put our hope and our trust in you, that you renew our strength. I pray that you would help those that need it today, those that may be listening to this service, God, that they would pray just now, God, renew my strength. Help my trust in you to be strong and my hope to be refilled, God. I pray that you would help us to overflow and be an influence in someone's life to see them come to faith in Christ. God, there may be some that are listening today that have never made that decision to ask Jesus to come into their heart and their life. And today that they would just say that prayer that all of us must pray before God, a sinner's prayer, something like, "Dear Jesus, I know that I'm a sinner and I know that you sent Jesus to die for my sins. Dear God, I pray that you would forgive me. I pray that you would help me to walk, to begin a walk of a journey with you and to sense your spirit." God, you know our hearts today. You know every person that hears these words. Speak to them and draw them to you, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Thank you. Shauna, would you lead us maybe in the first and second verse of Great is Thy Faithfulness?